Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Pastor James is a good pastor. He's dealing in a pastoral way with his people when he's talking about the necessity of a faith that is living, a faith that is genuine, a faith that is fruitful, a faith that is producing works. And he is cautioning anyone who is under his care, who considers themselves to be a Christian, but their faith does not produce works, to realize that that kind of faith does not save. There's only one kind of faith, true, genuine, saving faith. That's the faith that truly lays hold on Christ, and that faith is a living, vibrant, works-producing faith. It's not that we produce works in order to be saved, it's that we produce works because we are saved. And if we're not producing works, evidently we're not saved. It's as simple as that. We don't offer our works to God to save us, but when God has saved us, works always flow out of that changed life. That's what conversion is. And if there are no works, then it's clear to James, and clear to Christ, and clear to the other apostles, and clear to the Scriptures, and to anyone who is honestly dealing with the Scriptures, that such a person is not truly saved. And so James loves his church members enough to deal with them honestly and to warn them about that kind of faith that is not saving faith, whatever it is. It's not really faith at all, but it is sometimes called faith. It is sometimes thought to be faith. And so he said in verse 17, "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." That's verse 17 of chapter 2. And he gives a common objection that we have been dealing with in the last couple of broadcasts in verse 18 when he says, "But someone will say, you have faith and I have works." As if to say, some people have faith without works and other people have faith plus works, and either one will get you to heaven. The works are a plus. They're in a different category. They'll get you rewards. But the faith, even faith without works, will get you into heaven. And what James is laboring to show us is there is no such thing. No, faith without works won't get you to heaven because faith without works is dead. And dead faith doesn't save. Only living faith saves. And so to summarize this answer, this objection that James is dealing with in verse 18, what he's saying is neither faith nor works are optional for a Christian. Faith is genuine only when it produces works. You understand? It is very important that we think this thing through. Don't misunderstand what James is saying. Don't misunderstand what I am saying. Don't react emotionally and miss the truth. Don't misunderstand what is being said and think that James is talking about a works salvation. He's not. He's talking about a works producing salvation, and there's a difference. Works salvation is salvation acquired by works. God saves me because of the works that I offer to him. No such thing. That's totally erroneous, but this other concept is also totally erroneous, this idea that we could somehow have a faith that doesn't produce works. There is no such thing. So I say it again, neither faith nor works are optional for a Christian. An unbeliever can't produce works, not the works that please God. He can't produce them. He can only go to Christ by faith. He has nothing else to bring, nothing else to offer. But when he has been converted by the grace and power of God, his heart, now changed, now possessing genuine faith, is going to produce works. So neither faith nor works are optional for a Christian, but faith is genuine only when works are present. When they aren't, then it is not a living faith. Now he goes on in verses 18, and the last part of verse 18 and verse 19, to give a very needed correction to all of this. When he says, "Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." So we'll get into that part on this Wednesday, May 2. Thank you for joining me today. And I'm sure you're aware that we are dependent upon your financial gifts to remain on this station. Okay, what is James saying? First of all, he's saying you cannot prove the existence of faith apart from works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Why? Because it's impossible to reveal faith in any other way. You cannot prove the existence of faith apart from works. How can you be sure you have saving faith if there are no works? Now, again, James is not coming up with this on his own. This is not something that James teaches that nobody else teaches, and therefore James is suspect. Listen to the words of Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, "Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." What is Jesus saying? He's saying, show me your faith without your works, impossible, and I will show you my faith by my works. Why? Because, as Jesus says, by your fruits you shall know them. Or, by your fruits you shall show them. You'll show them who you are and what you are. By your fruits. Bad fruit, bad tree. Good fruit, good tree. Or another way to put it, bad fruit, bad heart. Unconverted heart. Good fruit, good heart. Made so by the grace and power of God. And so the fact of the matter is, how can you be sure you have saving faith apart from works? And the answer is you can't. How else can you be sure that faith, which is unseen, after all, it's not a visible material object that you can set down on the table and say, there it is, there's my faith. Faith is in the heart. Faith is unseen. Unseen by you, unseen by men, unseen by any except, of course, by God. But how can you be sure that unseen faith exists? Only when it's producing works. Jesus said the same thing to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He likened it to the wind that blows. You can't see the wind, but you can sure see what the wind produces. When there's nothing moving, nothing stirring, not the daintiest leaf anywhere that is trembling even so slightly, you can accurately and correctly say, the wind's not blowing. How do you know? You can't see it. You can't see whether it's blowing or not. No, but you can see what a blowing wind produces, and you can see what what is not produced when there is no wind. So, but when the wind gets strong, oh my, there's no question then, the wind is blowing. How do you know? You didn't see it. Well, I can see the trees blowing. I can see branches falling off of trees and falling in my yard. I can see the leaves that are blowing. I can see the rain blowing. I can see the snow blowing. I can see the evidence of the wind blowing. No, I've never seen the wind, but I don't have any difficulty knowing when it's present and when it's not. Who gave us that illustration about faith? Jesus did. That's a picture of faith. So is everyone, he said, who is born of the Spirit. And this teaching of James is the teaching of the Bible. Remember the story about the emperor's new clothes? Oh, what a humorous story. But you know how it is. The tailor convinced the emperor that he had a beautiful new set of clothes that the emperor had produced for him, but only those who had, pure hearts or whatever could see them. And so the emperor was unwilling to admit that he couldn't see them, because that would shame him. If he couldn't see it, he must not have a pure heart. And so it was announced to the kingdom that the emperor was going to parade down the street in his beautiful new clothes. And if you couldn't see them, you didn't have a pure heart. Well, who was going to say, I can't see them? So everybody is unwilling to tell the emperor that he is marching down the middle of the street without any clothes until a little child cries out, Mommy, Mommy, he doesn't have any clothes on. Right. The child was willing to state the obvious. Nobody else was willing to. I'm afraid that's the way it is many times with church members, with Christians. They're not willing to state the obvious, not willing to admit the obvious, not willing to admit what the Bible says clearly, that if you can't see the clothes, then it's because there are no clothes. If you can't see what faith produces, then it's because there is no faith. What's so hard to understand about that? Why do we get that so convoluted? Why do we find that so difficult to believe when the Bible tells it to us in so many different ways? How do you tell if a person is alive or dead? It's not as easy as you might think, but it really boils down to, if there's no activity in that body that life produces, you can't find breath, you can't find brain waves, you can't find a pulse, you can't find anything, then the fact is the person's dead. Because life, which life is a nebulous thing, how do you see life? How do you quantify life? Life is an intangible, but it's pretty clear when life is present, certain things are always present. When life is absent, certain things are absent. Same way with genuine faith. When genuine faith is present, certain things are always present. Spiritual fruit is always present. When spiritual fruit is absent, then saving faith is absent. Simple as that. Please understand. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.